should pay him, so he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou have also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now these past Sunday nights, we've been studying on forgiveness. First we looked at God's forgiveness of us. Because to truly understand forgiveness, you have to be able to comprehend the forgiveness of God. You can't understand forgiveness unless you understand the forgiveness of God. Have some kind of understanding. We're not going to fully understand the forgiveness of God. We'll understand that when we get to heaven, and we'll wish we had done so much more for Him when we get there. Even those of us who live our lives for God, we're going to wish that we'd done more. We're going to wish those spare moments that we had, we'd have been using them for God. We're going to wish the opportunities that we had to witness that we had done more. We're going to wish that, those times when we had free time and instead of reading the Bible, we did something else. We're going to wish those things when we get to heaven. But by then we won't be able to change it, but we're going to have some regrets. We learned about the holiness of God in the forgiveness of our sins. We learned about the holiness of God and how God is such a holy, separated, pure, He's a God full of truth and righteousness, and we can't even think like Him because God's mind is way beyond our minds. We learned how much we sin against Him and how we're ever sinful, and even our righteousness, or what we call righteousness, makes God sick. It's as filthy rags. We learned how after salvation, God has amnesia and completely forgets all of our sins and will not hold us accountable. He loves us. And at salvation, when we trust Christ, or when we trust Jesus and his shed blood for salvation, he's forgiven absolutely every sin that we have, that we do, and that we will commit. We are completely justified from beginning to end. Our whole life, every bit of sin is taken out. God doesn't remember it. Last week, we learned about forgiving ourselves. The fact that the devil comes and tries to remind us of the sins that we committed in the past. He tries to make us feel as though we're unworthy to serve God. The devil tries to tell us half-truths that we're unworthy or the devil tells us half-truths. We are unworthy. We're completely unworthy to have salvation, but the devil tells us that, he emphasizes on that, but he forgets to tell us that we're also forgiven. Jesus' blood, and we're forgiven by Jesus' blood, and our forgiveness of sins makes us worthy to serve Him. We have a clean slate. We can do something for God. God can use us once after salvation. And we need to realize the depths of God's forgiveness, and we need to forgive ourselves. Then we need to make things right. All right, we need to forgive ourselves, and then we need to make things right and go on. We need to make things right and press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Then we need to even though we're forgiven of our sins, there still may be consequences for the actions that we do. Although we're forgiven, there'll still be consequences that we reap here on earth. In Galatians 6, 7, and 8, if you turn there. I'm just doing a little bit of review. I'm almost done. In Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God likens our sin. God likens it to seeds that are planted. Now, some seeds never grow. But if you keep planting seeds, eventually a plant's going to spring up. People will say, well, Brother Keith, I've sinned, and I've never seen any consequences from that. Well, just like actual plants, if you've ever done any kind of planting or farming, you need to take a lot of seeds and you need to plant a lot of seeds, because some of those seeds aren't going to grow. Some of those seeds, you're not going to see any fruit from them. But when you plant a lot of seeds, you're going to see something pop up. And the same thing with sin. If you've sinned, you may not necessarily see something come from that sin. But when you're constantly sinning, those seeds will eventually grow. Something will come of it. And we'll reap the consequences of our sins. So we learned about God's forgiveness the first week. Then we learned about forgiving ourselves. And tonight, I want to talk about another topic on forgiveness, and it's on forgiving others. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Father, for the forgiveness that you've given each and every one of us here tonight. As far as I know, when I looked across everybody in here tonight, Father, as far as I know, everybody in here is saved and knows you as their Savior. There may be somebody who doesn't, Father, and I pray, God, that if they don't, that they would take care of that tonight. But, Father, I pray that you would use me tonight. I pray you'd bless this sermon. Help us to learn about this subject of forgiving others. Please fill me with your Spirit. Help there to be open ears, open eyes, and open hearts as I teach what you taught me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 18:21. We just read there a few moments ago. Here in Matthew 18:21, we have the story of the unjust servant. It starts in verse 21 where Peter comes to Jesus and he says, if you read there, Matthew 18:21 and 22, it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seventy times seven. Then Jesus goes on to start to tell a parable in Matthew 18:23. He says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants." So we can tell some things. Here we have a kingdom that Jesus is saying here. He said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king. So here we're getting a heavenly story. We're getting a story. Jesus is starting to tell a story relating it to heaven, but he's talking about a certain king. Now this king, he was taking account of all his servants. I can tell one thing about him. He was very meticulous. He was looking at every single thing those servants were doing. He was checking the records. He was going through, making sure they were doing their jobs, making sure that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, that they were handling, maybe if they were handling finances, that they were handling them the proper way. Maybe if they were making something, that they were making it the proper way. Maybe if they were working in the kitchen, that they were making things the proper way. And he was taking into account maybe how much he was paying them, and if he was, you know, but he was keeping track. He was being very meticulous about the work they were doing. He was taking into account all of his servants. Now look at Matthew 18:24. It says, "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So, this servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, according to Wikipedia, one talent would be worth 7,686 euro. And this servant owed him 10,000 talents. I didn't bother figuring that out. What was that? Wow. Yeah, that's in euro. That's a lot to me. I'm from the States. But that's a lot of money. I can't even comprehend that much money. But this servant owed the king 10,000 of these talents. Plus, he had nothing to pay. He couldn't pay him a cent. But the debt had to be paid, so the king had to sell him, his wife, his children, and everything he had. But like all good kings, he forgave him in Matthew 18:26. Look there. It says, the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So that king, he completely forgave him that debt. €70 million. He forgave him all of it. He didn't even make him like give up his possessions or anything like that. Now, if I was that king, I'd, you know, that guy owes me something. I'd make him, you know, at least sell me your children or something. You know, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I mean, really, or himself or something, you know, just give me some kind of payment. And we'll call it even. But he didn't do that. He forgave him of the whole debt. And that astonishes. I mean, I'm just astonished at that. In Matthew 18:28, it says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So that same servant, that same man who owed the king and 70 million euro, he went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. Now, I couldn't find how much that was back then, but whatever it was the lowest denomination. It would be like a euro or a euro penny, just one, you know, 1 cent. It would be like 1 cent or 1 euro cent. And he owed him, I don't know if it would be the equivalent, but it was a very, very small amount. And he owed him 100 of them. And this man, he takes that man. He's so mad at him. He leaves the king. He finds another servant. He owes him money, 100 pence. And then he takes the man by the throat, demands his money, and the fellow servant falls to his feet, begging the man to have patience with him. And let's see what happens in Matthew 18:30. It says, and he would not. He wouldn't have patience with him, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So your man, he casts this man into prison till he can pay that debt. After all the mercy that was bestowed on him, after all the forgiveness that king gave him, after all that money he owed, maybe he figured the king, he's a king, he's rich, he doesn't need the money. But regardless of whether he needs the money, that was a lot. and the king forgave him of it, and he completely forgot about it, and then went and treated this man badly with no mercy, who owed him much less. Now turn to Matthew 18:31, the next verse. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So thankfully, he didn't make his family pay, which he was considering at the beginning. He just made this one man pay. So what had happened was, after he had this man thrown in jail, the other servants went and told the king what was done. And when he found out the servant didn't have compassion on his fellow servant, the king gave him over to tormentors until his debt was paid. Shooting the wrong way. Okay. So first, tonight, like this king, God, the King of Kings, has forgiven us. Like this servant, we've been forgiven a debt that we couldn't bear to pay. Not even for a moment of time. That king, the king, Jesus Christ, God, has forgiven and taken our sin debt of hell upon himself. And like that servant, when we realized our punishment, or like the servant, when we realized our punishment was more than we could bear, we called on Christ for forgiveness of our sins, and he forgave us of all of our debt. Tonight, what have you been forgiven of? God has forgiven us of sin. God has granted us immunity. God has removed our sins as far as east is from the west. Though we continue to sin against him, all is forgiven and forgotten. Though just one white lie would send us to hell for eternity, because God is a holy God, yet he has forgiven our transgressions because of the blood of Jesus Christ as a gift to us. So, like his servant, we have been forgiven a great debt. A great debt. But, like his servant, we don't forgive those who owe us less than that. Those who have sinned against us in a much lesser degree than we have done to God. When someone cheats us out of money, when someone lies to us, when someone uses an angry tone of voice while they're speaking to us, when someone goes against what we say, when someone else gets recognition for the things that we did, when someone else treats us badly and doesn't apologize, when your wife doesn't appreciate all the hard work that you've done for her, when your husband doesn't appreciate the fact that you bore his children and you take care of the house and you do all this stuff while he's away at work and he doesn't appreciate that, when the sports game's on and it's more important than you are, when your wife doesn't appreciate the gift that you tried so hard to find her. When your family turns on you. When your coworkers speak evil against you. When others speak against us and say things that are untrue. When we're offended and think others owe us something, we act just like that servant. In our heart, we get angry and we'll make them pay. Forgetting our forgiven debt, we say, I'm going to get my 100 pence if it's the last thing I do. We will deal harshly with others because of what they're doing to us and forget that we are constantly doing to God and how he has released us of all debt. So like this king, God has forgiven us. Next, we need to forgive others. We need to get amnesia. We need to forget those sins against us. We expect others to forgive our sins. We expect others to give us grace. We expect others to have patience with us. And we are forgiven the greatest debt none of us could bear to pay, even for a moment. We need to decide that when others sin against us, we're going to forgive them. Decide that when others speak evil against you, that we're going to forgive them. Decide that when your wife or your husband says they're going to do something and they don't do it, that you're going to forgive them. Decide that, when others do wrong toward us, even if it's intentional, even if they mean to do it, even if it's malicious, that we will forgive them. Because that's what God did and does for us. We need... We need to forgive others' sins against God. Turn in John 8, verse 4. John 8, verse 4, it says, "They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" John 8, 6, "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here we have a woman. She had been caught in adultery. And the people wanted to stone her. I imagine it doesn't say they had the stones in their hands, but when I think of the scene, I think of this big group of people with stones in their hands, just ready to throw them at this woman and kill her on the spot. And Jesus got down and he started writing in the sand. It doesn't say what he wrote. I just kind of think, you know, I imagine him maybe writing each of their names. Brother Dan, Kelly, John, Martin, Gina, Tony, Claudio, Keith, writing each one of their names down. And it says, as he started writing, he wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued and asked him, he lifted up himself and said, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. Now it doesn't say what he wrote, but I wonder if he wrote, started writing their sins for everyone to see. He is God. He did know what they were. I imagine him writing each one of their sins, starting to write them next to the name. And as they saw that, they dropped their stone and walked away. As they saw their sins start to be written, they walked away. If we could put your sins up on this projector, would you want everyone to see it? No. But that's what they were doing to this lady. And Jesus said, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. The reason we get critical is because a lot of times we're trying to justify ourselves. We're trying to make ourselves look better to others and to ourselves. You know, quit looking at your wife's sins and look at your own. Quit looking at your husband's sins and look at your own. Quit looking at those around you and thinking that you've arrived and that you're so close to God, and realize although we're justified through Christ's blood and our sin, or although we're justified through Christ's blood, our sin is revolting to God. And it's as revolting to God as those that are unsaved. Now, God doesn't see it, but our sins are as revolting to God as those that are unsaved and those people that completely live after the flesh. Turn to John 7, verse 23. Here it says, Paul said, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God. Did I get the wrong verse? Romans 7:23. Did I say that? Did I say something else? Did I say John? Okay. All right. All right, it was John. It was John before. Okay, Romans 7:23. See, don't you criticize me. All right, anyways. But here Paul said, Romans 7:23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So what Paul was saying was, he sees there's a warring inside of him. He has the law of sin and the law of God just pulling at each other all the time. And it's all the time. And the closer you live, the more you read your Bible, the closer you can live for God. But when you let those things go, then you start to live more in the flesh. Now you still have that part of that Holy Spirit nudging you and convicting you of that sin. But it gets a little bit dimmer because you're not listening to it as much. But Paul said, he said, "I have this war." He said, "I have this sin nature and I have this spiritual nature, and they're constantly warring against each other." So we all have that. Even Paul had that problem. Paul called himself a wretched man. "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He struggled. He had a hard time. Every one of us do. But we need to be careful. We're not looking down on others when we could be in the same situation there. And we need to forgive the sins of those, or we need to forgive sins against those that are close to us. When somebody hurts your children, that's probably the hardest. Forgive them. When somebody hurts your wife, forgive them. When somebody hurts your husband, forgive them. Joseph and I were in Model Village one day, and there was a lady. We visited her a few times, and we got to talking. We witnessed to her. She just doesn't want to hear it, but she always lets us in and lets us talk to her. So we take that as an opportunity and go in there. And she was talking one day about her husband. We'd know, I mean, he sits in a chair all day. He's conscious of the things around him, but he doesn't seem completely there. And one day she finally told, she said, "You know what?" She said, or she started talking about a man. She said, 15 years ago, there was a man that was driving reckless on the road, and she hit her husband's car, and she's had to care for him ever since, and she's given his life, and that man that had hit her husband had just recently, she read in the paper that he had gotten into an accident and lost the use of his arm or something like that, and she said, "It serves him right for what he did to my husband. It serves him right." Now she's not saved. She's never forgiven that man. She's not saved, and I couldn't expect her to understand forgiveness. But we need to forgive people that hurt those that we love. When someone hurts your business, forgive them. We had some friends, they were in a business, they made kits for unlocking cars, vehicles, and they kind of lock, or they sell kits for locksmiths, is what they do. And there was a lady that used to work for them, and she found out how they make the things, and then she left and opened her own business and tried to steal their customers. And the lady wasn't saved. And they had to really do, I mean, they really struggled with that, because they had to do a lot of forgiving for that lady. And they asked for prayer, because it was affecting their hearts. When somebody hurts a relative or somebody close to you, forgive them. If somebody hurts your pastor, if somebody hurts Pastor Craig, you need to forgive them. Many times, I know in the States, sometimes a pastor will get hurt. People, a pastor that stands for right, people bring false accusations against him and lies. And you'll see that pastor himself, he will forgive those people. He'll have his heart right. He'll forgive those people. But you see, his people in his church, they don't. And they get vicious. And his friends get vicious. And then they attack and they attack and they attack and they attack. And it just becomes this big thing, because they're not forgiving. Now, that pastor forgives, but those people aren't forgiving. And they're Christians also, and they just fight and attack each other. You know, if somebody attacks your pastor, if you see him forgiving them, and even if you don't, you need to forgive them in your own heart, because God forgave us. And God forgives us of everything. If somebody hurts your mom, forgive them. If somebody hurts your dad, forgive them. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6:12. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see, the truth is, it's not those people. We're not in a battle against people. When somebody falsely accuses you, when somebody does something against your family, when somebody does something against you, you need to realize, you need to see the situation from God's point of view. It's not those people that are attacking. It is the devil that's attacking you. And we need to forgive those people and realize who the real person is behind those things. We're not in a battle against flesh and blood. We're not in a battle against flesh and blood at all. Our enemy... Our enemy is the devil and his angels. First, like the king, we need to realize God has forgiven us. Second, we need to forgive others. Next, turn to Matthew 18:34. If we don't forgive, we could be given over to tormentors. Matthew 18:34. Says, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive every one his brother their trespasses." Wait. Oh, 18:34. So we need to forgive. Or if we don't forgive, God could give us over to tormentors. So that king, what he did, since he didn't forgive his debt, it says he delivered him, in 18:34, it says he delivered him to tormentors till his debt, till he paid all that was due unto him. Turn to 2 Corinthians 2:17. Here's another verse about that. 2 Corinthians 2:10. Says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So here it's saying we need to forgive, because if we don't forgive, Satan could get an advantage over us. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if somebody starts criticizing your family or saying something, that doesn't mean, just because you forgive them doesn't mean you go hang out with them. Somebody goes and criticizes Pastor Craig, you don't go hanging out with them, but you can forgive them in your heart and realize that it's not them, it's the devil trying to attack your church, it's the devil trying to attack your pastor, and you need to pray for him and encourage him. And I pray that day never comes, but you never know, it happens. It does happen. But sometimes when we refuse to forgive and we allow our fears, or sometimes when we refuse to give, those fears of being hurt again. When we refuse to forgive, we allow those fears of being hurt again from allowing us to get close to anybody. And this would be an example of tormentors that you could face by having an unforgiving spirit. When we don't forgive, Satan gets an advantage over us. Are you being tormented tonight? Have there been wrongs against you that have not been forgiven in your life and they haunt you? Don't allow Satan to get an advantage over you. He doesn't need to. It's going to render you useless to God. If he can get you to become unforgiving, he can manipulate you and get you to do the things that he wants you to do, not the things he wants you to do. Turn to Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye pray, or when ye stand praying, forgive. For if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive. Or if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. For if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. First, we need, like this king, we need to realize that God has forgiven us. Second, we need to forgive others. And third, if we don't forgive, we could be given over to the tormentor or to the tormentors. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Tonight, we need to realize that we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven a great debt. We owe God much more than that man owed that king. We owe God much more than we could ever comprehend. When we see people being thrown into the lake of fire and we realize what we've been saved from, we can only imagine it in our minds right now, but when we see it for real, we're going to realize and be so thankful for what we've been saved from. So we need to realize how much we've been forgiven and forgive others. Don't be like that unjust servant. People may sin against us, but it's not the half of what we've done to God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking. If there's anybody in here that would say, Brother Keith, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight, and I'd like you to pray for me that I would have strength to forgive. I'm not going to point you out. Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to point you out. I see hands all over the room. That's wonderful. That's good. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. It's not going to be an easy task. It's an ongoing task. You may put your hands down. It's going to be an ongoing task till the day we die, because people are going to do things against us. People are going to say things against us. And maybe even more, because we are born again Christians. And they think that we're better than they are. They think that we think we're better than they are, when in reality, we know we're just saved and that we're no better. Now, maybe tonight there's somebody in here who's never been born again. I don't know. You know, I wasn't here. I feel like I've been here forever. But, you know, we just showed up in November. There could be somebody here that's been coming to church every week. I don't know where your heart is tonight. I don't know if you've ever been born again and asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart, save you from your sins, and take you to heaven when you die. If you don't know 100% sure that you'll be in heaven when you die, I'm going to pray in a few moments, and I'm not going to point you out, but if there's anybody who would like me to pray for them about being in heaven, about being saved, would you raise your hand? Anybody? Nobody. Amen. I'm glad everybody's saved. Father, I thank you for these people that have raised their hands tonight. God, I raise my hand tonight. I need to be a better forgiver. And Father, I think every one of us in here needs to do some heart searching and realize and remember when those times come, no matter how hard it is, we need to forgive, so that we don't end up like the unjust servant. Father, help us, remind us of that sin debt that we owe every day and what you've forgiven us of, so that we don't do like the unjust servant and forgive people for the small things they do against us. Father, help us to serve you. I pray that you would continue to bless our church. I thank you, Lord, for all the men that came out for the men's meeting. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless everyone for them for it. Some couldn't be there. And I pray, Father, that you would help us. Help this church to grow. We would be with Pastor Craig. And help us to learn to forgive. And these that have raised their hands tonight, Father, I pray that you would give them special help to overcome whatever they might be struggling with in the area of forgiveness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.